Welcome back, everyone. I hope you all enjoyed your time off, but now it's back to the grind. And not just the grind, but the running. The brutal, brutal running. But I'm delighted to say that as of today, the 27th of March, the U's have now gone 10 days since last conceding a goal. So every cloud. I'm Julian Roberts. Welcome to this week's preview show. I'm joined by Tom Walker. Tom, did you have a lovely break?
Yeah, sort of. Replaced the disappointment of watching Cambridge United not do very well with watching England not do very well. And in really on-brand style, as we were just discussing, obviously the Belgium game on Tuesday night, which featured a very late Jude Bellingham goal. Wembley normally empties about 70, 75 minutes for England home internationals, particularly friendlies. But I'm normally fairly, I'll just stay till the end because I might as well pay the money. I'm here now. I sort of made that decision as well, but I did decide to leave about 30 seconds before Jude Bellingham rolled his equaliser into the bottom corner. So, even though the context, the players, the team, the badge, the flag as well, is all different. Some things very much remain the same. It's disappointment, not seeing the good bits. And a sense that I probably spent too much money doing something for little reward.
I think it's great to see you bring your club pedigree to the international stage though, mate. I think that's what England fans really wanted at this stage, to see a performance like that. You head to the bar 15 seconds before a crucial goal.
That wasn't heading to the bar, that was heading home, to be fair.
Yeah, fair enough.
It was a Tuesday evening, and as we'll come to discuss, we had been on it all day already. So, no more that was needed. But yeah, it was an unfortunate moment. Quite literally, my back turned to the pitch. That was the length of times with me deciding to leave, and obviously that going in. But that's perhaps another topic.
Did you get the sense this international break, like watching England, you sort of touched on it there, like given the way the U's have played recently, and then you watch. I mean, they're international friendlies, and we're not the sort of podcast that's going to go into them. But did you get the sense, like, what did you do in a past life to deserve this as your two teams to watch?
I don't know. I kind of got the sense that it must in some way be my fault. There can't be many people who have endured the football that we or I have endured in the last couple of weeks. You know what? It was good to see us score a goal. Shame it was Ivan Toney because,
That makes it better, I think. I think that makes it better.
Somehow still feels like a kick in the teeth.
Yeah, there we go. Look, well, international duty is over. Back to business. Before we get into the real business end, which is previewing this weekend's doubleheader, the Easter doubleheader, we should talk about, as you mentioned there, what we were up to yesterday, which was the sponsors event at the club. Obviously, we are the proud sponsors of Elias Kachunga, even though... You might not have noticed. But under the Avistan, proud sponsors of Elias. And me and Tom went down to a sponsors event at the ground, a little open training session, lunch with Elias and some of the players and the first team manager. And we had a thoroughly nice day, didn't we, Tom?
Yeah, it was good. Interesting to watch us train. I must admit to have been slightly apprehensive going into it because the last podcast we recorded was quite negative and particularly questioned the character of many of the people that we stood shoulder to shoulder with in a queue for food on.
we have got extremely lucky, by the way, that Kachunga has had like a sort of fairly okay season, because we could have ended up sponsoring some people who have come in for a lot of stick on this podcast of recent weeks.
Yeah, we've never really said a bad word, I don't think, and that's not bias. I think it's probably fair. But yeah, you're right, it could have been a lot worse, put it that way. But it was a good day. Interesting to watch us train. I think we literally kept saying it all day afterwards, but I think my key takeaway was like, what a job it is to be a professional footballer.
Yeah.
They rock up at 9:30, bit of banter with the lads, get changed into their training gear, go out on the pitch, half an hour stretching, bit of a few sort of running drills here and there, a bit of tactical work, and then, about a couple of hours later, you finish it off with a bit of shooting practice if you can be asked, and then your food's ready made, and then you can go home for the day. So What a living that is.
Just that a couple of times a week, and that's it.
Yeah. And you have to say that I'm very much envious.
I'll tell you what did make me laugh though. So at lunch, we obviously there's like, you know, a small group of sponsors sort of watching training. And I think we said to Elias, like, oh, is it weird training in front of people? And he sort of said, like, oh, well, when I was at Hertha Berlin, we did some open training sessions in front of 4,000 people. It's like, oh, right. So that's sort of like a sort of a home crowd for us, a sort of low home crowd at this stage for us.
Yeah, and that would have been like a really like rowdy bunch of like ultras who are there like singing and shouting, probably pyrotechnics, flags, the lot, who had been on it all day. Whereas, you know, the group of sponsors who attended the event alongside us very much were not that, and there were very much far fewer of them. So, yeah, you do realize when you speak to these guys that they have had careers before they come here, and a lot of them will have careers after they go on, and a lot of them have seen better and hopefully might see better afterwards. But yeah, no, it was a good time.
Yeah, it's not quite the same, you know, me and you just sort of sipping a cup of tea at 11 in the morning, just sort of sat in the main stand in silence, sort of watching them train. No, it was a really good day. Well done to everyone at the club. Always really good little event. Worth saying, I think. So another reflection I had was I never really spend a lot of time in the main stand and looking very smart down there at the moment. I think it's worth saying. There was a nice message from Dion up as well. Always good to see Dion involved with United, obviously. Anyway, let's get on to some of the business. International roundup I've got here on the running order, Tom. Now, it does feel pretty big time that this is something we can legitimately do on a podcast now, and it's not just like one person. Granted, the pedigree might not be what some other fans get to talk about, but there are
not might not is not
it's not is it no. Yeah, fair enough. But there have been a couple. I think let's start with the headline. Macaulay Bonn off on international duty with Zimbabwe, scored in a 2-2 draw with Zambia. Ended up winning on pens, but I think Bond was taken off before the pens. Tom, do you think he's found his scoring boots there in that match?
He's found them more so than he's found them so far in a Cambridge United shirt, so you'd have to say that's quite a good sign, I think. Maybe.
Maybe. Not such a good sign. Okadina playing for Malawi. Played 90 in a 4-0 defeat to Kenya. That's pretty bad. And then came off early injured against Zambia. So potentially injured, obviously, we have no idea, but Lyle Taylor was at a training camp, I've written down, so hopefully he had a good time.
Yeah.
he was back yesterday for the training session, so yeah. International roundup, it does feel pretty big time, doesn't it, Tom, to be talking about an international roundup?
Yeah. And you know, it's not like the international roundups that you see Premier League clubs tweet out, which is like, I don't know, our scorer has gone and scored for like Belgium or something. Which is, you know, understandable, and it is a real novelty, you know, to be able to, you know, people at work and stuff be like, oh, who came to you this week? And it's like, I haven't got a game actually because it's international break. We don't actually play on international breaks anymore because we're a really big football club. They're like, who have the players gone off to play for? And it's like, Lyle Taylor's gone off to a Montserrat training camp.
In Spain. We should probably get an invite to that, to be honest.
We shouldn't mock because, you know, as much as, you know, we're obviously, you know, very much becoming dyed-in-the-wool England fans who have a certain arrogance about the status of our national team compared to others. I'm sure that, you know, every minute of Macaulay Bond's appearances for Zimbabwe means as much to him as it does to Harry Kane playing for England, perhaps. So, yeah, it's good for them. I think it's good for the football club that we had a break. And yeah, as long as they've come back in some sort of relative fitness, which maybe might not have been the case for all of them, then it's probably quite productive time, I think.
Yeah, totally. Probably taking them out of an environment which, you know, tough off the back of 10-0 aggregate defeat in two games is probably no bad thing. Let's actually talk about that quickly before we come on to the games, the Easter games themselves. The fact that this break is something that we talked about on the last pod, if you can remember, all the way back then after Reading, as a potential positive, was actually nothing to do with that game itself, but the fact that there was this break coming up and Monk had obviously come in at such a strange time that this was maybe the first time he was going to get an extended period with a squad that he started to sort of know and be able to assess, and some games to analyse and be able to know what to do with his time, extended period of time on the training ground. Do you see it that way as well? Do you think, like, you know, when we were watching training yesterday, not anything specific in terms of what he was saying, but just to see like how we had that time tactically to work with them, and then you assume, well, that would have been, he would have had such a limited amount of time to actually implement any ideas before now.
Yeah, I think so, because we obviously joke about it a bit when we're talking about the life of a professional footballer and how the amount of, I guess, I don't want to try and make it too basic and kind of disrespect them too much. The amount of actual work you do is pretty limited, in terms of hours and time spent on the grass, but it is. And you think he came in, I think what, like the Monday or the Tuesday before we played that Northampton game, so it's probably two training sessions with a group of players he'd never met. You then go to Lincoln away on a Tuesday night, so you have very little time with the team before that. And obviously, Lincoln goes away, it does. And I'm sure he would have loved nothing more than to have totally ripped things up and try something totally new for the game against Reading. But I think the one thing that it's put into perspective, actually going and watching it, live, actually seeing them train, is that actually it's probably quite hard to put those ideas across in the space of probably like three sets of what we sat and watched, and it's probably less than that because. You think Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, one of them is probably just a recovery session. One day they're probably not training, and then they probably have one in maybe towards the end of the week. So, yeah, obviously that makes it difficult in that situation. But the flip side of that is that when you do get a couple of weeks literally just to work on, shape and, a plan, hopefully, for the teams that are coming up to play, that's got to be a real positive thing. And, even though we did have a few players away on international duty, I think the ones that are going to be most important to whatever it is we try and do, were there in the sense that, Lyle Taylor doesn't need to work on like every aspect of our tactical play because he's in the team for a very different reason. Kaikai, we feel we'll slot in, and one or two of the others have been a bit more peripheral. So, yeah, I think this season's been one that's kind of, even though there's been a lot of things that have happened that have been quite significant. I think of managerial changes, managerial departures, against our wishes and stuff. There have been a lot of aspects of it which have mirrored last season a lot. You think of our start to the season, you think of when it started to tail off, you think of things around the transfer window and areas we maybe left a bit short that we've kind of rectified in January and stuff. The big bit of last season was this break and coming back from a much stronger shape. And I don't even think like it came through a real kind of revolution in how we were approaching games tactically. I think it was just almost a bit of a reset in terms of like what's happened in the last few weeks has happened, and now you sort of go again. So it might be as valuable for that more than anything. But yeah, you do get the feeling that a couple of weeks with Monk on the grass will be a real positive.
Yeah, it will be huge. Just something a bit different, I think. Just changing the routine, I guess. And that he actually said yesterday, didn't he? In a little speech that he did to some of those sponsors, he was like, "Normally, when you have a bad defeat, you just want to go again and like right the wrongs in a game straight away. But actually, now, like, I needed the time with them." So, look, it's a positive for now, or it's at least something we can be hopeful about. But we do have to show it because the games are running out quickly. Let's start having a look at some of these games. So the first game Friday is Barnsley away. Very tough. Let's get a preview first. So Swindle spoke to Tracy from Red All Over to give us a preview of the game.
Right, Hughes fans, I'm joined by Tracy from the Red All Over podcast, Barnsley fan. Tracy, how are you?
I'm great, thank you.
Very good. Nice to have you on again. So straight into it then. Talk us through how Barnsley's season's been so far.
We've had a good season, really. Obviously, the beginning of the season, we lost our manager just prior to the pre-season and three or four really key players. After a very successful last season, losing in that dreaded playoff final. Yeah, we'll not talk about that. So, yeah, it was a bit of a rebuild, really. And I think if we were being hand on heart honest, we'd have been happy trying to sort of be around the playoffs. So I think where we are is testament to what Neil Collins has done. He's a very sort of Marmite type of a manager. We've got a large fan base that support him, and we've got a large fan base that really, really dislike him. So it's been an interesting season, but I think if people were being really honest, I think we've had a great season, and to be still with a very, very slight chance of automatic with what, six, seven games to go, then yeah, it's been good. It's been a good season, and touch wood, I am touching wood. We should make the playoffs at the very least.
Very good. Yeah. So an unbeaten February took you into March, and it's been a difficult March so far. 4-2 victors away at Wickham, 2-2 home to Bolton, then hosting Lincoln, who are the form team, it appears, in the league, and that was a bit of a home battering. So talk us through how March has been.
I mean, our home form throughout the season has been sketchy. To be honest, we've been very inconsistent at home and probably not performed particularly well. A couple of sort of good performances, but generally speaking, we don't seem to have it at home. Away, we are amazing. I think your best record in the league, and we're smashing all club records away from home this season. So we recently last well, we didn't play last weekend because of the international break, but the week before we had a 0-0 draw with Cheltenham at home. Didn't do ourselves any favours there, did we?
Yeah, it's a tough one though. We played them, and we've struggled against them this season. So it's been a funny old season in League One.
I mean, for the first half, we absolutely hammered them, but couldn't find the net. And fair play to them, they defended pretty well. Second half, we were average, and to be fair, they could have nicked it. They didn't deserve it, but they could have nicked it. So yeah, it was a poor game. We were poor, really. Prior to that, yeah, home game, we got battered by Lincoln, who, well, you know about that. They knocked us off our feet. They were amazing. And fair credit to them. We weren't at our best, but even if we would have been at our best, I don't think we'd have beaten them. So no, they were great. And then yeah, we had a 2-2 draw with Bolton, which was obviously a massive game. We were 2-0 up as well. And to be honest, we sort of crashed and burned a bit. We put a lot into 60 minutes. And yeah, we sort of faltered late on. And again, to be honest, 2-2, and they could have sneaked it late on. So yeah, as I say, our home form has been sketchy, and we've had a couple of away wins in there, but Wickham and then Carlisle, who obviously are struggling at the bottom, but gave us a decent game as well. So yeah, March has not been the best. Prior to heading into March, we were flying. So yeah, the international break, I don't know whether it helped us or hindered us, but hopefully it will have helped us.
Well, yeah, we've had the same. Quite unlikely for us to have an international break, but it happened. So looking ahead to the game then, who've been the players for you've been your driving forces this season? Who's been your standout players?
I mentioned Devante Cole in terms of the goals he scored. He hasn't scored now for quite a while. And the last two games, he's actually been rested or dropped. We're not sure. The manager refers as being rested, and that he's not missed a minute, and he hasn't really missed much time all season. So I'd be very surprised if he doesn't start on Saturday. So in terms of goals, I've got to mention Devante Cole, although, like I say, recently his form hasn't been great. In terms of the best players we've got, I would say step into our midfield. We've got Herbie Kane, Adam Phillips, and Luke O'Connell, who are, when they're on form, I doubt anybody in the league's got as good a midfield three. And Herbie Kane's been suspended for two games, but he's back on Saturday. On Friday, I keep saying Saturday, and it's Friday, isn't
Of
it?
course, yeah.
Just messing right up. Definitely those three are key to our success, really. If they're on form and pulling the strings, then other teams struggle to sort of put up with us. And Adam Phillips in particular has started to come back into form. He had a not a great start to season, but he started to pitch up with a few goals and a few assists. So they're key. Defensively, we are very inconsistent. So when you say players to watch, I would say players not to watch is our back three, because we are prone to leaking goals.
Well, looking ahead then to Friday's game, as you well point out, do you think, yeah, Barnsley setting up with a back three, do you think that's where Cambridge might find some joy?
Yeah, all the other teams have, and also we play sort of two, obviously three, with two wing backs bombing on, and they're forever leaving gaps behind them. And the back three, yeah, like I said, they've got a mistake in them. We're inconsistent back three. We haven't really secured. We got Donovan Pines from America, played two games, scored two goals, cult hero, been injured ever since. So. And there's no real news about him coming back, so I'm very, very, very surprised if he's back on Friday. So yeah, I think if you've got some wingers that have got some pace, then definitely we have space behind us where teams have affected us.
Yeah, that's always a question. We've got some players with pace, but the ability is certainly the question at the moment. So yeah, it's going to be an interesting affair on Friday. You with a bad home record and us with a bad season record. If I was to push you for a prediction just before we look ahead to the end of the season, what would your prediction be for Friday's game?
Well, we'll concede. So, I would. We've been 2-1 at home. 2-1 at home has been our big result. So, I'd take that now. So, yeah, I'll go for a 2-1 Barnsley win.
Good. And yeah, just before we go then, we're in the back end of the season now, the business end, as they say, and currently Barnsley's sitting in fifth, 9 points above that the playoff drop zone, if you will. So is the aim for this season trying to consolidate a playoff place, really?
I mean, we've got games in hand, and Derby dropping points at the weekend, that really helps us. So we've got two games in hand on them, and obviously a game in hand on Bolton. After this game, we've got Burton away, and then we start a real difficult patch where we've got Charlton, Stevenage, Portsmouth. So if we've got to look now to get maximum points to even think about automatic. But yeah, I would hope that playoffs is. I can't say the word a certainty because you never know. You've only got to look, like we say, at Lincoln, and the others behind us are overlooking their shoulder, thinking, "Oh dear, where have they come from?" So yeah, I would hope that the minimum we get is the playoffs, but we've not quite given up on automatic yet. But if we don't get certainly maximum points from the two Easter games and see what happens around us, then yeah, it'll be playoffs.
Well, I do wish you the best of luck, but I'll probably be wishing you the best of luck after Friday. Listen, Tracy, it's been brilliant to have you on again. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks very much. Good luck.
Thanks very much, Tracy and Swindle, obviously. Barnsley away. They currently sit fifth in League One. They did draw last time out to Cheltenham, quite annoyingly, obviously, for us. Does that tell you something, Tom, that there's something to be got at here? Because if you look at these recent results, like, they only just about beat Carlisle, a team that we beat 4-0. I say just about, they won 3-2. Got beat by Lincoln 5-1 at home. We know all about
Got battered
conceding
by Lincoln.
goals. Yeah,
Absolute slugs, mate. Absolute slugs.
and then couldn't, they couldn't hold on to a win against Bolton, but obviously that's Bolton and they're fighting at
Don't
that
go
end
too much
of the
further back
table.
because then it does get quite daunting.
Then it does get good.
Yeah.
But like
Yeah.
those last four, maybe a sign that there's something to be got at here. What do you think?
Lost against Exeter in January as well.
In January, good. Okay,
I suppose, we could literally just sit here and pick through all their bad results and go, that's a reason to be positive. But, the Cheltenham game is obviously the most recent one. I guess it's probably less what you take from that result particularly, and more just like the idea that they are maybe a little bit unpredictable. In that sense, I don't think there's anywhere near enough evidence to draw on there. But yeah, I mean, I think what it says more than anything is that Cheltenham are pretty tough nut to crack, as we have obviously found out twice this season. Maybe more so than what it says about Barnsley. Like, make no mistake, this is a really tough game. The table doesn't lie at this stage of the season, I feel. Not too much anyway. They're pretty comfortably sat in the playoffs. They're going to be in the top six at the end of the season. As it stands, they've got a nice meeting with Posh, so hopefully that goes well for them. But yeah, for us, it's very much a case of get in, get out with something, and if you can't get out with something, show that you could have got something, and I move on to Monday, I think.
Do you think with Friday, the obviously everyone wants to try and go and take a point from it, but do you think actually there's something to be said for, you sort of just hinted at it there, like something about just seeing a shift in the mentality or like the desire of the players or something that indicates that we're seeing something different to what we have done, especially against Reading?
Yeah, 100%. Because that was the thing that we sat here after that game, and probably the guys sat after Lincoln, and said the same things. Like, I know it's a bit cliche, but it's like it's not a problem with how you lose it. Or sorry, it's not a problem with losing. It's a problem of how you lose. And let's not pretend that us going to Barnsley and losing a game of football is like an outrageous thing to happen. But if you go there and it's the same thing, like you go a goal down and then all of a sudden you're two or three goals down and you come out of it basically having been walloped, then that's obviously going to be quite hard to take, I think, particularly in the context of having a couple of weeks to basically stop that from happening. But yeah, I think I think it is big for that reason, really, because you know, I don't think many people are going to go into this with like huge expectations, and you know, part of it's going to be the mentality that, that we want to see shifted. I think we were pretty scathing after Reading of you know, picked out a couple of individuals that we felt weren't quite giving enough in terms of the work rate. So we obviously want to see that rectified, but also like just some sort of. So something you could take away from it and go, do you know what? There is actually something we can work with here for the rest of the season, because you know it's easy to forget because of all the sort of negativity and all the chat that we've had in the last couple of weeks. Like we're not actually in the bottom four, and we're actually 3 points out, you know, 3 points better off than Vale, who obviously sit 21st. So there is still reason to think like, all right, if you lose one game, come out of it with some positives. Like there's still then 7 more games to implement that a little bit more and try and get some points that do see you over the line. So. Yeah, I think it is important we see something. I'm not sure exactly what I want that something to be, but I think there's a whole host of things that you can look at and think if that's better than it was the last time that we played, then it gives you a bit more confidence.
Yeah, totally. Sort of easy to forget that it's like all in our own hands, right? It's, I suppose we're maybe again like scarred a bit from last season and thinking like we've got it all to do this time last year. We're getting ready to go play Vale, right? And we hadn't even started our sort of our recovery run yet, which is quite remarkable to think. And now it sort of feels like we're in the doldrums, but actually we're not when you actually look at the table. So yeah, it really doesn't need a lot for us to be safe. So you're right, Friday is probably just to just show us something a bit different, even if, like you say, a manner of losing it is okay to an extent. I mean, it does then put a lot on Monday though, right? Like you then go into that game on Monday thinking, well, we absolutely have to win this game, and let's get a preview of Wigan, and then we'll talk about both games together and the sort of the wider picture a little bit. George spoke to everyone's favourite preview podcast of the year, Barry Worthington.
Right then, news fans, it's time to find out a little bit more about our Easter Monday opponents. Very happy to say that joining us is friend of the pod, from Progress with Unity podcast. It's Mr. Barry Worthington. Good afternoon, Barry. How are you?
Very well, Jordan. Thank you. And how's yourself?
Nervous. I'm nervous. But enough about my worries and my team. Let's find out a little bit about the Latics. I'm going to start by saying a lot of turmoil in the summer, a lot of points deductions and things like that. But we're chatting here at the end of March, and you're sat on 50 points in 12th spot. Are you ecstatic that you've avoided all relegation talk, or are you annoyed that if you didn't have the points deductions, you'd be right in the playoff picture, right?
Well, we would be, but I'm not annoyed at all. I've loved this season. It's been my favourite season for quite a while. There's been no stress involved. We've either been chasing promotion or fighting relegation over the past 10 years. Since we came down at the Premier League. And every season's been at this time of year. I know how you're feeling. It's been nerve-wracking every single season. And this season's been just a joy to go to a football game. I never thought we'd be in trouble at all. I thought, you know, the squad was too good. We had a good manager. And I didn't really want us to push for promotion because I didn't want to go up because we'd be facing a massive reshuffle in the summer if we did. And I've got what I hope for, mid-table obscurity, and it's been absolutely beautiful, and I've loved watching football.
That's terrific. That's great to hear. And all the ownership stuff, that's all resolved now. I think I remember chatting about that with you before.
Yeah, that's resolved. We've got a new owner in. They've just released the financial statements for last season up until this time last year. 17.5 million loss. So they've sort of sorted that out for us. That's what it's cost them to come into the club. Local people, they're not going to splash the cash. They've said that we have to grow organically through the academy. And at the moment, 42% of all minutes this season have been by academy graduates in the first team. And that's so brilliant to see these young lads coming in, developing as the season's going on, playing with pride, with 3 Wigan Athletic supporters in the team, with Wigan people playing football for us. And it's great, you know, buying success, it brings a little bit of happiness, but it's always tinged with, you know, can we afford to sign such a body and what's it going to do in the future? But seeing these lads come through and the way they're playing for the town, the club, the shirt, playing for the fans, they've been stood on the terraces with us. It's brilliant. And it's just making me, you know, so proud. And I'm glad these owners have come in with this in mind. We've heard it said before, but these are very much adamant that that's the way it's got to be. Sean Malone is bought into it. We've got Gregory Ock, who was our head of academy. He's like a football director at the club now. He's heading everything up. And yeah, really happy with the way the club is being run at the moment.
We last crossed paths all the way back in September. You guys won 2-1 on the day. Has much changed in terms of the squad and the shape and the style of play since September? You've got any sort of different people in the lineup, or are you still pretty much the same?
Yeah, we're pretty much the same. We've lost Callum Lang. He's gone off to Portsmouth. He was one of our bigger earners. Charlie White's gone off as well. He was on a massive wage for this level. But apart from that, yeah, Tello Asgard scored against you. Stevie Humphries, they've both been playing. Humphries' form has been a little bit hits and misses. He's been carrying an injury. So he struggled with that a little bit, and we've just seen him in flashes, really. But I think he's coming back to full fitness again now, just in time for playing you and over the weekend. And Tello, he's one of the academy graduates, and he's got for Norway under-21s this week as well. So he's making a splash on the international scene. Yeah, so our two big players there. Tello's been out as well. He was out for most of the autumn. He picked a shoulder injury up, but he's back. Matt Smith's missed a large chunk of the season through a double hernia, and he's back again now, so he's playing quite well. And he's like our quarterback, picks the ball up off the back foot and dictates how we play. But yeah, it's just the same. Maloney is this new breed of manager, likes to play with the inverted fullbacks, and you scratch your head what formation we're playing, and that's what we've been doing all season. But like I said previously, it's been a joy to watch.
I was going to say, just sort of looking at lineups from past games and then looking at the lineup from September, have you been playing a back three recently, whereas in September it was a back four? Or is it, like you say, it's sort of a bit of a hybrid and it changes in game?
Yeah, very much changes. Sometimes we play with a back one, Charlie Hughes on his own. But it's been really strange. We signed a lad called Charlie Good from Brentford in January. He's coming on loan. He's out of contract at Brentford, so I think we signed him with a prospect of keeping him beyond the summer. And it's been fitting him in and leaving him out and fitting him back in again. And Jason Kerr's come back from injury. He's been out with an ACL. So we've been experimenting a little bit with a back three. Luke Chambers is what we got from Liverpool, left back, England under-21 international. Absolutely fabulous player. But he plays like a... It's hard to tell whether he's a left back, a left wing back, a left winger, a left sided midfield player. You know the style, but, and just fabulous. Yeah. So, do we play with a flat back four? Never. A three sometimes. A two, yes, and sometimes just a one. It's great to watch. It's reminded me so much of Roberto Martinez when he was in charge of us. We used to be scratching our heads at his formations, but always good to watch, like a very interesting game of chess.
We've talked about the good, Barry. Let's talk about the bad. If you were scouting Wigan for Gary Monk, what would you say are potential weaknesses of this Wigan side? Perhaps something we could target and maybe get some joy from?
Midfield, we tend to play wide with an attacking fullback and a winger. So there's a lot of space in midfield. And we've been hurt with teams coming at us and going through the middle. So an overload on midfield, three, four players in the middle of the park, you'll probably get a lot of joy there and move through our midfield quite quickly. We play with two, Matt Smith and usually Babar Adiko, who's one of our academy graduates, or Scotty Smith, who is an academy graduate as well. So two young kids in there. But yeah, I think that would be my scouting report would be load that midfield and get at them down through the middle of the park.
Terrific. any chance that we're going to be on the beach come Easter Monday? You know, sitting happy in 12 might not be up for it and give us a nice easy 3 points.
There's every possibility. I think your problem is we've got Burton on Friday, we've got yourselves on the Monday, and then we've got Port Vale on the Saturday. So I think we've got a big say in who's stopping up and who's going down this season.
If you could beat Burton and then, you know, be a little bit tired and beachy on the Monday, but then maybe get a bollocking and then up it for when you play Port Vale and win there, I think that's the perfect trio, I'd say.
Yeah, well, I'll be honest with you. Our own form is the fourth best in the division. Mm-hmm. So that tells you something about our away form. So it's not very good. It's all right. It's probably lower mid-table, but we're very strong at home and not too strong away. So out of the three games, if I had to pick one that would most likely suffer defeat, I'd pick the away day at Cambridge. But you know how these predictions go. You can't get anything nailed on, can you? But yeah, I think you've got every chance. I remember when we came down the season we won the league the last time we was here, and we was 2-0 down, weren't we? Mm-hmm. And yeah,
a late show, and you got it back to 2-2. Yeah.
I mean, there was a Charlie Wyke incident the day before that in training. I mean, I know we was affected, but you've always looked like a good side when we've played you. When I've watched you, you know, you've always looked like a decent team. And I thought you was early in the season as well. I don't think this is, from our point of view, a given. I don't think we're, you know, we're, like you said, we've played like we're on the beach in a couple of games over the past few weeks. And I'm sure out of those three, there'll be at least one where we are definitely on the beach.
Terrific. I've got all my hopes on Monday, Barry. Obviously, we're recording before the Burton game, so we have no idea what happens there, result or injuries or anything like that. But imagining you come through completely unscathed and you've got a full squad for the Monday, are you back in Wigan to get the result based on everything we've just said? What's your score prediction?
Well, I've noticed there's been a lot of chatter on the old interweb from the players about, let's see how many points we can get before the end of the season. I understand that they want to go for it, but we've had eight lads away on international duty, most of them with the youngsters. So I think they'll come back buzzing as well. When Sam Tittle, our goalkeeper, played for the under-21s last night, kept a clean sheet. Unfortunately, it was at Bolton, so he got booed as well. Can't believe that. What's my prediction? Do you know what? I'm going to go for a 1-1. I'll go for a 1-1 draw.
Terrific. Barry, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for your time.
Thank you very much, Jordan. Best of luck. Seriously mean that.
Two best mates there just having a chat. Jordan's been looking forward to speaking to Barry since September, so glad that we could make his wish come true. Tom, BSTUs are back on Monday. How important are the daylight saving hours going to be?
Yeah, it was remarkable how important it actually turned out to be last season. Because it definitely shouldn't be that important, should it, really?
No.
You know, it makes absolutely minimal impact to most people's performance at work. But yeah, for us, it was absolutely transformative.
It seems to be like Farmers and Cambridge United, that the two groups of people that advocate for the clocks changing.
Yeah, I mean, it was weird last season. Because it almost could not have been more like cut and dry as well. Like, it was like, you go back to look at our results and where the daylight saving bit came in. But it is literally almost as simple as, like, daylight saving ends, we turn to shit, starts again, we turn good. So, yeah. I mean, if it happens again, then it will seriously, seriously start to look a bit strange, to be honest. And hopefully we could just put it down to coincidence. But, yeah, I mean, you know, an extra hour of sun in the evening, an extra hour, a couple of hours. I mean, that's something to look forward to for everyone, right? Regardless of how the football goes. But, yeah, the return of the BSTUs is something I've been looking forward to probably since about mid-September.
So, yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Since probably about Wigan away in mid-September when we lost that game. Wigan are so mid-table. They are, I mean, they're on the beach, I reckon now. I reckon that's it. I'm declaring them. I reckon they've got their big fucking umbrellas up on the beach.
Got armbands on.
Yeah. Well, they started the season. It's easy to forget. They started the season with, I think it was 8 points deducted at the start of the year.
Yeah. So
they've had a really good season. And I think that contributes to the fact that them sat in 12th, considering a lot of people had them down to potentially be in a bit of trouble. Sean Maloney's done a really good job there. Their form is also quite patchy. So, like, you know, they beat Blackpool at home last time out. We're speaking before the Easter game, so they've got Burton at home on Friday, and we could really do with them doing us a favour there. Then they, away from home, they've lost their last two at Fleetwood and at Wickham, which, you know, they're not the two of the best sides in the league. Fleetwood are second bottom, and they managed to turn them over. So how big an opportunity is this, Tom, looking at our fixture list for the rest of the season?
Yeah, it's these sorts of teams you want to be playing, really, I think. Actually, that's a lie. You just want to play Carlisle every week, to be fair. But I think, you know, it's that thing of, like, you feel like every team that's down towards the bottom is just fighting for their lives, and every team at the top has something to fight for as well. Wigan are, like you say, literally the most mid-table they could probably be. 13 points off the playoffs, 14 points off the bottom four, sat literally in 12th. It doesn't come much more mid-table than that. I know that there's a caveat, obviously, the points deduction, so they'd be a little bit higher and a little bit closer to the top six if it wasn't for that, but it is for that, so they're not. It just feels naturally like it's a game where we should just want it a bit more. And to be fair, like, if you go back to the Northampton game we played against, they're in a pretty similar position. It did kind of play out like that for long periods, or certainly for the first half. And I felt we looked pretty good against a team who just, for obvious reasons, just didn't look as up for it as we did. And, you know, it was that second half performance against Northampton that just basically allowed them back into the game. And that's something where you feel like if you can just have a bit of that first half and just try and basically stay on it for 90 minutes, then that's a game that you should be targeting, really, for points. I think, you know, it probably feels like a tougher game because it's Wigan and because, you know, of what they've achieved in the last sort of 10, 15 years, more so than because of the team they are now. I'm not saying they've not, you know, put like a decent team together or that they're not going to be a challenge. Of course they are, but you kind of feel like a team like that at home is the sort of game that you want at this stage of the season. Don't forget, we've also got Wickham to come to the Abbey. You know, we go to Bristol Rovers later on in the season as well. Charlton will probably be safe by the time we play them. So in terms of our fixtures that are coming up, if you want to kind of make a wider point, that I think if you can literally just want it more than some of these teams, then you'll come up with enough points to stay up, maybe. Maybe that's too simplistic. But particularly in terms of Wigan on Monday, I mean, it'd be great if they could get a good result on Friday and then just really stick and then really put their feet up, really get the aerosol out. Aerosol? So, sorry.
Aerosol. That was the word I was looking for earlier. Get the old deodorant out.
Yeah. Really sweat it against Wigan and then really, and really not sweat it against us. Fucking hell, that's just simply the wrong word, isn't it? But no, you know what I mean. They have a good result on Friday and then get the deck chairs out. Should have kept it more simple. Yeah. And really phoned it in against us, because God knows we could do with someone phoning it against us like we have against a couple of
others. Someone does a solid. Jesus, lads. We've been giving them out all season. Do you think then, going off that point we said against Barnsley, like maybe, I don't want to say it's performance, not points, because it just can't be at this stage of the season. But I think people would understand what we mean by, like, if it's a team going to a place like Barnsley at this point in the season, when you have still got some fixtures in the bank, considering what we're just coming off of, maybe what we're looking for is like that shift in mentality and desire, and that just seeing something in a performance that's slightly different to what we've seen before. Do you think the flip side applies to that at home to Wigan, where you're just looking for points here, surely? This is... Or do you think, basically what I'm asking is, if we lose both these games, Tom, do you think that's it done? Like, our fate is sealed?
Well, it's how it will feel, but, you know, objectively that's not going to be the case, is it?
Because,
you know, like, what, you know, the worst off we can be is 3 points adrift come the end of the bank holiday weekend. Admittedly, that would feel like a real kick in the teeth, because obviously we're going to it 3 points above. So it would feel pretty symbolic, but I don't think any game can be performance over points this stage of the season, but I think it is fair to say that if you come out of that Barnsley game, and let's put a scenario out there where you've lost that game 1-0 and you spend like 60, 70 minutes pounding their goal, but you just can't quite get it over the line, or you know, you create some really good opportunities and you come out of it and you think, like, I remember Plymouth away last season.
Yeah, it's exactly a great example.
You know, I don't think Barnsley are quite the team that Plymouth were. But we went to Plymouth. We gave a really good account of ourselves, and everyone came out of it thinking, do you know what? If we can take a bit of that and send it into next, what, three or four games, I guess, at that point in the season, then we'll probably be all right. I think it is simply our home games. It is simply home form. It's going to be crucial, and it's such an obvious thing to say because it has been all season. But I think particularly in terms of the fixtures that we've got at the Abbey, they're the ones that you really just go, it doesn't matter how it comes. Like, be as turgid as you like, as long as you come out of that game with 3 points, then it's fine. But yeah, I think and that's why I think it's kind of hard for me to sit here and say that I wouldn't feel like it is fate sealed if we do lose both games, because, you know, Wigan feels like a bit of an opportunity, to be honest. And if you play well at Barnsley and then get 3 points against Wigan on Monday, that's probably exactly the weekend that we're hoping for, I guess. So yeah, we'll have to see how it all goes. But yeah, let's be honest, if we're sat in the relegation zone at whatever it is, 5 o'clock on Easter Monday, that will feel like we're going to need reviving, put it that way. You need to come back from the dead, huh?
Hey.
There's been no Easter puns so far.
No, true. Well,
I think we absolutely packed it full of them last year.
Yeah, we did. We probably used them up. Yeah, true. Well, I mean, you've just brought in the Easter vibe there. So, do you think that a point would be, how many points do you think we need? Realistically, how many points would you be happy with from these two games?
Three.
Has to be three as a minimum.
Yeah, I think so. Well, yeah, three. Yeah, I think three. I mean, you'd be delighted with anything more than three. Because I think you make the assumption there that we will lose at Barnsley and we'll bounce back against Wigan. I mean, two wouldn't be the end of the world, because it would mean you've gone and put a performance in at Barnsley. I don't believe you can come out of that game with something, having not played well. And obviously then it's like, well, you've sort of backed it up a little bit. But I just want to see us win a game. I know it's so basic and it's so simplistic, but I'm sure I'm not the only person thinking it, but it just feels like it's been ages since we've seen us win, particularly at home. Like, it feels like it's been really thin gruel basically for weeks. I just want to see us come off a pitch just like having really, you know, showing a really good account of ourselves, basically.
What do you think we're going to do?
I think we'll lose at Barnsley. I've got my reality head on. I think they're a good side. I think they'll just have too much for us. But the positivity in me, well, what's sort of remaining of it, lingering around somewhere in there, makes me think that we will put in a fairly decent account of ourselves, and then I think we will bounce back against Wigan and beat them. So yeah, I'll go with 3 points. Lose at Barnsley, beat Wigan.
God, I'd take that. I'd snap your hand off for that right now if you gave me that scenario over the weekend. I'm gonna agree with you though. I think this break will have done them some good. I think we'll end up losing at Barnsley because they'll have a bit too much for us, but we'll like scrape through that Wigan game. We'll do something like, we'll be like 2-0 up, and then we'll concede with like 10 minutes to go, and it'll be like 10 minutes of proper, horrible, agonising watch where we sort of like cling on and like limp over the line to get those 3 points. Tom, the run-in. Are you excited or nervous? It's just so... It does feel a bit different to last year, because I think by this point last year, I was pretty defeated last year.
Yeah, this time last year, I totally accepted our fate. After that Charlton game, I was like, do you know what? Just give it a fight. Try and beat Posh in the derby, and if you know give it a good go and you do win that game, then probably that's about as much as you could hope for. Obviously, we've got even more than that, so that was obviously pretty miraculous. It does feel different, and I guess the key difference is that we are not doing the chasing; we are the chased, which is quite daunting, really, when you think about it. I think it does make it a little bit harder to kind of play as well, in a sense, because, you know, we're just talking there about the minimum amount of points that we need, and we're like, well, we'll take a point from that game. But all of a sudden, if Cheltenham pick up a win, then like suddenly you need to start winning games. So it's not like, you know, when we're in a position that we were this time last season. I'm obviously not saying that I would swap it for that, because obviously last season was pretty hopeless at this stage, really. But like, when you are in that position, you are a few points adrift. It is just as simple as like, just leave everything out there and try and win games. Don't worry too much about what happens elsewhere. But in our position, it's a bit more like, you kind of always got to be looking over your shoulder a touch, a little bit. Yeah, eight cup finals.
That's what I was waiting for you to say.
That's got to be the narrative, I guess. Take each game as it comes, but consider them all as cup finals collectively. I would like to think that we can just make it a little bit more comfortable than it was this time last season. And it doesn't take much. Like, I remember we had this chat, I think probably post Carlisle, maybe. It might even have been a little bit earlier on that, like about the sort of points that we think we're going to need. And we were sort of speculating, or I was speculating that maybe it might be a bit higher than 50 points. So it absolutely won't be. You know, if we get 11 points, we're going to finish comfortably clear of the drop, I think.
Yeah.
I don't think that's too bold a statement. So I think it could be just a case of, like, literally win a couple of games. And that's it. The running is always tricky, and the table looks pretty unpleasant as it is at the moment. Not as unpleasant as it could be and might get in 4 or 5 days' time. But
something we haven't spoken about, Tom, is the fact that the kickoff for the last game of the season at Vale has been announced as a 12:30 kick, which I think we were sort of all expecting a little bit for the final game of the season. But that, it just, like, terrifies me. I can picture being on that, like, 7 o'clock train out of Euston, just like horrible, like one of those days that I still think will go our way, but the sort of day where, like, it's just almost not enjoyable watching the game of football. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, going to Burslem is
yeah, it's not enjoyable at the best of times, is it?
No, it's pretty horrendous, to be fair. And that's before you get into Vale Park, a ground where, with fans, we have traditionally struggled, other than for last season, I guess. It made it a really long afternoon after we stayed up at the end of last season. A really long afternoon. In a good way, obviously. We were all delighted and we celebrated too much, probably. But yeah, if you've got that long to just kind of kill time with, having just...
That was dangerous, isn't it?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it really does.
I need to be booking a flight to California ASAP if there's anything anything riding on that game, just to get a bit of the good luck charm back. Look, Tom, anyway, let's wrap this up. Something we didn't mention was that Mamadou Diop's been recalled. So it'll be interesting to see if he plays any part over the Easter weekend. But the press is tomorrow. By the time this comes out, you can probably go and listen to the presser, and Gary Monk will tell you everything you need to know. The Monk over the Easter weekend at the Abbey, Thomas. It's all written in the stars, isn't it?
I hope so, because it would be great. I'd be fucking love it if we could sit here after Wigan and just be like, oh my god. A little bit of weight off the shoulders.
Imagine we just go get 6 points now. So what were we worried about 5 days ago? What were you worried about, lads?
Yeah, that'd be anyway, the dream. But this is reality, unfortunately.
This is reality. But look, me and you are mad enough to be going to Barnsley, so I'll be seeing you on the train from King's Cross Friday morning. We'll be back for a review show on Tuesday after the Wigan game to review both games. And we'll have a mailbag this weekend as well, so keep an eye for that on your feeds. Go well, everyone. Have a great weekend.